What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthling. This is Kathy Beal of Empowerment Unlimited, and we're here for the inaugural episode of Celestial Compass on Om Times TV. I've been on Om Times Radio for 2 years now, and I have a brief update of the forecast for February with a reminder that you can find it at empowermentunlimited.net and also at Om Times. We're in the process of really getting used to what Pluto in Aquarius is all about. Today, as we are recording this, Mercury has met with Pluto, and this week we'll have our first new moon in Aquarius with Pluto in Aquarius, and later in the week, Mars and then Venus, actually later in the month, Mars and then Venus will meet with Pluto in Aquarius. We're basically undergoing trial by immersion in our thinking and our communication channels and how we use our action and also in our relationships. And it's making all kinds of stuff in my chart, and I just noticed that my virtual background went out, so I'll fix that in a minute. I know. I can just laugh. And I am very pleased that my colleague that's joining me for this grand experiment is Beverly Beal, no relation that we know, and a more of a polyhyphenate than I am. Beverly is a visionary and mentor for people who crave more clarity, joy, abundance, and purpose. She's a feng shui master, an energy alchemist, a creation catalyst, a coincidence creator, and intuitive coach. Her website is theintuitiveinterior.com, and The Intuitive Interior is also her YouTube channel. Hey, Beverly.
Hey, Kathy. Wow, it's been a wild ride just getting everything all lined up. You know, I listened to some of your previous YouTube messages about Pluto and Aquarius and that little connection, and it is absolutely fascinating how that is dovetailing with this transition from the year of the Yin Water Rabbit to the year of the Yang Wood Dragon. I have, you know, obviously, you know, there's not this massive, amazingly huge, never before in our lifetime conjunction that, you know, with the Pluto and Aquarius. Ha ha, there's your real background. But in many ways, it feels just as earth-shattering because this transition period has been a rough one. Mm-hmm. I have lost count of the number of friends and clients and family members who have been contacting me with, you know, one story of an issue or another. For those who may not be familiar with me, as a feng shui consultant, that is just one of the areas of Chinese metaphysics that I have spent the past 20 years training on. Interestingly enough, I actually started learning feng shui in earnest in April of 2004. So this is now my 20th year of doing this.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was at the beginning of the last 20-year cycle, which was an earth energy, an earth element, all about skills and knowledge. And the fact that we are now doing this, inaugural TV, the broadcast session of this, as we begin the next 20-year cycle, which is in the fire element, which is all about visibility and performing and, speaking out loud. I think it's just a perfect synergy, perfect timing. So I'm so grateful that you invited me on, Kathy.
Oh, it's always fun to talk with you. And see, I don't even have to ask you questions. We're in this really interesting, or I call it an orientation period.
That started June 20th.
Hold on.
Nope.
There we go. Now I can hear you. No, I can hear you better now.
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can hear me too.
Oh, dear.
anyway, Pluto moved back into Aquarius on the 20th of January. And then we have a sequence of planets meeting up with him this month that we have not experienced in our lifetimes. And it's incredibly intense. The news I have received from people of the stuff they've just found out, because there's a revelation, or like a revelatory aspect to what is going on right now.
Yep.
Hold on. This will do it. All right. So there's a revelatory aspect to what is going on right now, and things that have been hidden or secrets or below the surface coming up. I'm hearing lots of health news of people getting answers to problems and some serious answers to problems that they've had for a while. I'm seeing greetings from people that I know. This is great. And there's some serious health news in the news. The King of England has been announced has cancer, and this is making a direct link with him. So let's talk about how this fits with the energy of this transition from what should be a sweet and cuddly rabbit time to the time that is coming up. Actually, let's start something even earlier than that. How Chinese years, what the system is, the 12 signs, five elements, each combination repeats once every 60 years, right?
Correct. And so in Chinese metaphysics, you have, again, the 12 animal signs, and most people know them if they've ever gone to a Chinese restaurant and there's been the Chinese placemat sitting on there with, what years go along with which animal signs. So of the 12 animal signs, though, only one, the dragon, is one that is not found in reality. The animal signs in general are either ones that they would use for food, ones that they would use for transportation, which would be like the ox is almost like their plow, or the horse is transportation. They would eat rats and dogs and goats and pigs and roosters, of course. The tiger's not necessarily one that they would eat, but they would be hunted by, etc. But the dragon is the one that is most typically, or it is the only one that is mythical. The lore about it is that it was late. All of these animals got their placement based on when they presented themselves to the emperor for announcements like, hello, I am the ox was supposed to be the first, but the rat decided it is being this little small meek little ee thing, convinced the ox to give him a ride across the river. And so that's how the rat, once the ox crossed the river, because the ox is this cool, gentle, benevolent dude, guy that just, hey, I'll help out. I'm a very helpful, steady kind of a person. But as soon as the ox got over the river, the rat jumped off and went to the finish line and they got first. The reason why the dragon, who can fly, didn't get first is because it noticed that, oh, hey, there's a village over here that's on fire. I'm going to scoop up a bunch of water and put out the fire and then go on my merry little way. And that's how it ended up being fourth, because it was off doing this altruistic thing that it could see things that others could not, and wanted to you know, lend its hand in bringing benevolence and justice and helpfulness throughout the land. You know, somebody mentioned here that the dragon was male and refused to stop for directions. No, not necessarily. It was trying to be helpful. But again, the dragon, the reason why the Chinese calendar does not line up with the more Western Gregorian style calendar, number one, the Western calendar that we currently deal with is still a relatively new invention. And it's been messed around with quite a lot by one pope or another. In fact, some of the research I was doing is, as far as the Western calendar goes, it had been kind of imposed upon, you know, globally through different trade routes. Like the Philippines, the last time we had a big fire, 20-year fire cycle, again, was 1844. That was when the Philippines got tired of being a day ahead of the majority of its Asian trading partners. And so they just lopped off Tuesday, December 31st, 1844, and went straight into January 1st. They'd been going on that calendar since 1521. Coming back again, the Chinese go off of a solar and lunar calendar. So that's why the lunar start date changes every year. This year, February 10th is the beginning of the official beginning of the Yangwood Dragon year. and it goes until January, let me double check my notes. Yeah, January 25th of 2025. That's why also when I'm doing the Chinese astrology charts, it's called Bazi, at least that's how I'm pronouncing it. It's Bazi, because I am not an expert in how to say anything in Chinese. But solar beginning of every year starts on February 4th. This is where it gets a little strange, though, for some people who are typically born between the latter part of January to the middle part of February. Sometimes they'll think, oh, well, wait, I'm born on this day, and so I'm this animal sign for their year, because there's four pillars in the Chinese astrology, hour, day, month, and year. They each have different correspondences with different aspects and things. And but what happens if somebody, let's say somebody's born on February 5th. If a child were born this year today, they would think, oh, hey, I'm a dragon. No, sorry, they would actually still be considered, they would be considered a rat. They would be considered a rabbit. They would be a dragon, even though the lunar dragon doesn't start until the 10th. They would actually, but because they're born after February 4th, then they would. That's how they would be that following thing. But let's say that the year of the in 2025, if they were born on February 3rd, they would still be considered a dragon year, even though technically the lunar calendar would have already moved on to the next sign, which is the Oh gosh, now I've gotten my brain.
Well, that's away. Okay. Let's.
I got way into the weeds there, Kathy. I'm sorry. I can get real.
Let's something much, much more simple.
Simple. Good idea.
Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year starts after the first new moon, after the first full moon of the calendar year. Is that it?
Yes.
Or is it the first? How do you time when?
It's the first new moon after the first full moon of our Western calendar year.
All right. So I had that part correct.
Yes.
All right. So since our first new moon after the first full moon of the calendar year is on the 9th, then the year, the Chinese New Year is the 10th.
Right. Well, I mean, it's again, this is where the date line gets into the mix, but it's at, I believe, 4:34 p.m. on the 10th in China, which is technically still the 9th here.
Okay.
But if, you know, most people are just saying it's the 10th because the time hopping, as you just saw my brain trying to make sense of everything, it makes people's heads spin.
So let's talk about what the transition is that we're going through right now.
Okay.
Because you had a wonderful, when we were talking about this last week, you had a really evocative description of what's been happening to the poor little rabbits as we've been wrapping their year up.
I don't know how many of your audience members are familiar with a, there was an old British comedy series called Monty Python. And they came out with some fairly amusing, very slapstick, silly, very silly movies. And one of them, I believe, was that The Life of Brian?
You're thinking of Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Holy Grail, thank you. Thank you. And and there was one particular scene where they came across this cave and their guide was saying, oh, there's this terrible monster living in this cave. And what comes out is this cute little white fluffy bunny. And everybody's like, what are you doing? Why are you afraid of this? It's like, but it's got these big teeth, these long gnashing teeth.
It's a killer rabbit.
It is the killer rabbit. So if you want to go check out Monty Python Killer Rabbit on YouTube, or just do a quick search, it'll come up several different places. And it's honestly, that's how this year has been showing up. It started out kind of nice, you know, 2023 didn't exactly start out with this, you know, awfulness, but as it's grown in intensity towards the end of this year, it really has taken those big old long teeth and dug itself into several people. You know, you were making the comment about a lot of transformative events, health issues, you know, job transitions. It's just, you know, one day it's a company's there, the next day it's not. And part of that is because we're moving, not just, okay, let's set the 20-year cycle piece to the side. We can't ignore that because there's huge impacts with this that everybody is starting to feel. But we're moving from this, you know, more yin water kind of misty energy. That's what yin water is like. It's less diffused than it is tangible. But then the rabbit energy tends to be, you know, very lots of fertility, lots of, you know, it likes to stay, you know, burrowed underground. But when it comes up, there's always that saying, mad as a March hare. That's when, you know, the fertility, it's like, hey, let's get busy. I think that's what's happening right now is a lot of these health issues that people may or may not have been aware that were under there. It's just suddenly everything is getting activated because we're moving from, again, we've had an entire year of this beautiful, gentle rainfall nourishing all of these shoots under the ground and now everything is shooting up. All of this yang wood energy that we're feeling. It's a lot of sense of purpose. It's a sense of direction, focus, sometimes hyper-focus, sometimes misplaced focus. It is absolutely just coming straight up. And if you're not prepared for what has been watered. If you have not been watering the proper seeds, then you're going to be reaping a harvest that you did not intend. Now, don't mean to make that sound terribly scary. It's simply something to be aware of. Right now, at the beginning of this year, we're still able to take a look at what is it that's showing up before it becomes fully entrenched and before the root system become fully established. So we have an opportunity now, essentially, to prune and to weed. I love using gardening metaphors because nature is our ultimate teacher.
And that fits really, really well with Pluto, actually. Mm. I have a guided visualization of working with Pluto that takes you through a garden with him, and you actually observe what's in your garden, and he shows you what to prune, and you and Pluto pull things out of your garden.
I love that.
Make room for what else you might want to have grow.
And sometimes you have to, you know, cut through things that actually are viable, but they're in your way. Mm-hmm. If the path is being covered up, you have to clear the path. What I've been noticing, especially in the circle that I tend to run, and those people who are cycle breakers, those who are, you know, who are trying something different than what their family of origin has told them they should be doing, they tend to be the ones, not that they're getting hit the most, but they're feeling that level of exhaustion. They are also feeling they're able to see more of that way clearly, because again, as that yang wood energy, that tree, as it, you know, shoots up above, it can start to see more of the big picture. And then you add in that element of this dragon energy that can soar above even the treetops, then there is that additional layer of vision, that ability to see beyond what is directly in front of us. Too much time spent in you know, the forest, you miss that perspective. And so this is an amazing opportunity year for people to really get a good idea of what is the end game? You know, how is this the right direction? So that's exciting in many ways.
And with that, it's time for us to take our first break. So yes, we've already gone close to half an hour. So thanks, everybody. Hang on. Stick around. We have a lot more to talk about.
Om Times TV.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me, for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking today with Beverly Beal, no relation that we know of, but my friend, about the Chinese Year of the Wood Dragon. Can you bring in the some information about the element that we're dealing with right now?
Yeah. So the yang, the dragon itself has resonance with the yang earth. And I think I may have misspoke that in one of my other recordings, because it gets easy to get all confused. But so we've got this yang wood that is the overarching element. And then we've got this yang earth element on top of that. So there is this this earth energy that is feeding the yang wood energy, which makes things very strong. Now, you think that, oh, that's wonderful, we're going to nourish that tree. That the challenge, of course, is that the dragon energy in general is rather opinionated. It is a visionary, and so because it can see farther, it likes to think that it knows everything. So we're going to have this entire year's worth of extremely overconfident, very focused, goal-oriented, my way or the highway type energy infusing everything. That last commercial played plays right into the overall energy too. One of the whenever I, and this is more for the month of February, I do the I Ching reading on my YouTube channel, and the card that came in for this month is called number 37. It's called the Family. And when you're talking about that commercial about the immigrants and everybody, you know, paying attention to what their experience is, that's exactly what this card is saying. Just look at what we all have in common rather than focusing on the tribalism. That's a good energy to bring in throughout the entirety of the year, because we have this, you know, so much transformation. The last time that we had a dragon year, a wood dragon year, was 60 years ago. That was, if you can do the math, 1964. There's not a whole lot that happened, you know, nothing major, as Kathy giggles. Just to kind of, I went through and did a little bit of thing right here. It's the PLO was established. The KKK was still causing, you know, wreaking havoc. Nelson Mandela was jailed in Russia. Khrushchev was deposed by Brezhnev. Martin Luther King won the Nobel Peace Prize. The poll tax was finally outlawed. And Vietnam started.
Wasn't there a Voting Rights Act that year?
That was the poll tax. That was the poll tax being being eliminated. So that was the beginning of that. it's talking about social justice. I mean, that was the real beginning of the massive social justice movement. The Beatles, apparently, I didn't even realize this, the Beatles had refused to play to a segregated audience. And so, you know, that was, again, bringing that look to that feel. So, you know, one of the comments over here is that 2024 is going to be a very eventful year. The biggest thing to think about here is that because, so think about it this way. So we do have this rich earth that's letting these trees grow up. Many of the leaders are of different countries, of organizations, et cetera. We may see a lot of transition of them, because the, you know, when somebody is at the top, often that they're the first ones to get trimmed off. Mm-hmm. Historically, there's that what they call tall poppy syndrome, where if you're standing above the crowd, you are the target. So it doesn't, like for example, right now, Taylor Swift, great, fantastic. She just became the all-time most, has the number of Oscars for the most popular album.
Grammys.
Thank you. That's been, it's not surprising that people have been coming after her, coming out, you know. But let's kind of circle back to this 20-year cycle, because that also plays into this. This 20-year fire cycle is, again, a huge transformation. The last time that we had a 20-year fire energy cycle was in 1844. Again, these are just some top line things. A lot of religious organizations were started, or we had the Baha'i faith. We had Mormons. The Joseph Smith was killed, which then transformed into Brigham Young going out to Salt Lake City, and you know that the LDS Church is now everywhere.
And to clarify, we're not saying that happened in 1964. That happened in an earlier
1844 cycle. Yes. So what I'm saying is, you combine that transformational energy of the fire element with the earth and wood energy of that's coming in right now, just in 2024. It's taking that energy that we felt in 1964 and amping it up a couple of notches. Mm-hmm. So all I can say is, everybody is going to have to be prepared for very rapid transformation, which again goes along with the Pluto and Aquarius energy, and be willing to for some wholesale changes to happen. It is not necessarily a bad thing, because if you think about like when apartheid ended in South Africa, it was a pretty, you know, it was a long time building, and then boom. And I foresee things like that happening as well. We're moving. So we have this big mound of earth, like this big mountain. And now there's this fire coming out. It's like a volcano. A volcano doesn't erupt automatically, you know, just like boom. There has to be a lot of pressure building and more pressure building. And then the landscape is transformed. And you either are watching for it and observing what's happening, or you're going to be complacent and become crispy. I mean, I don't know what other way to say it. That's just the way it's going to be. And
we have had this conversation for several years running. Mm-hmm. And this year, more than any year, I am struck by the description that you're giving, matching wholesale the astrology of the spring, not merely Pluto moving into Aquarius, but also the eclipses that are coming in March and April, all of which are having an impact of putting people at the front of their own lives and running off and doing what they're going to do, with a lot of daring and force just propelling them. And then one other thing about the Aquarian aspect of all this is, well, a couple, it is collective. It does encourage looking at the entire system that you're a part of, and it has an objective quality of looking from a higher perspective and seeing the big picture. And it also has the potential to look down in every sense of the word, yep, on what is happening. So I find that fascinating that it tracks what you're saying.
One of the things that I had not quite grasped for a long time is, you know, with feng shui, the one of the Buddhist symbols that was bastardized by the Nazi Germany regime was the swastika, and the essentially all that is taking the planets, you know, the Big Dipper, and it each of those nine stars that are in the Big Dipper, that, you know, there are two that are, can't really see, but anyway, it's associated with that. it's how those formed in the planets, the observation of the different seasons, spring, summer, winter, fall. And if then what they did is they, by rotating them around, that's how that swastika became such a revered symbol in Buddhism. And then it got flipped around and, well, now it's not a good symbol anymore, but it's still very common when traveling in Asia, because again, it had a very positive meaning for the longest period of time about the wheel of life. Funny that you bring up April. I was about to comment on the fact that, remember at the very beginning of this show, I said that April was the month that the dragon energy is living in. So this April, I'm just gonna have my pantry stocked. I'm gonna make sure I have cash on hand just in case some weirdness happen. Because I don't necessarily go in for the whole doom and gloom stuff, but I also I like to be prepared for just about anything. We were not particularly prepared for COVID. I do believe that there will be some fairly dramatic shifts happening in April. Now, it could be something as simple as maybe that's when King Charles decides, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to step down and we'll let William come in. Maybe. I don't know. You know, in the U.S. election, maybe something will happen to one of the candidates. There's quite a number of them. Who knows? Maybe all of this wrangling over states' rights again. I get talking about coming back around that 180-year cycle from that. That was from the 1800s. The last time we had this 20-year fire cycle. Maybe that's going to happen. Something is going to catch fire then. Or maybe it will fizzle out, because we all have to remember that sun, the fire energy is represented by the sun. The fire can take many different formats. It can be this beautiful glowing sun that radiates and warms everybody and around them. Or it can be a scorching sun that fries all of your plants and makes you want to, you know, hide because it's so incredibly hot. It can be the warmth of a fire in the hearth, in the home. And so it can warm those and bring people together in ways that, like around a fireside chat, so that there can be a big community building aspect to it. Or it can be as the gentle candle flame that allows for inspiration and meditation and softens all the features. So fire energy is not always a bad thing. That's why being able to reframe or shift your perspective on things is such an important skill set. And Kathy, so many of I love the way that you create, you share the information about the Western astrology with people, since they're able to actually give people useful information on what to expect and how to adapt. I try to do the same thing in my forecasts as well.
I have one idea as we're starting to careen towards when we should be shutting this down. I'm wondering, are there parts of the house that people should pay particular attention to this
Absolutely.
Year?
So the dragon energy is associated with the Southeast. The Southeast is the wealth and abundance sector. It's more about investments. It's about long-term investments. And so, you know, making sure that you pay attention to where you're investing your time, talent, and treasure. The other thing too is the South. The South is usually connected to the number 9. We're going into a period, 20-year period 9. This is not necessarily the place though this year to activate, because it can have an element going on this year that can lead to a lot more arguments. It's a little bit too crispy this year. this year, my suggestion is to focus on the Northeast, the skills and knowledge sector, making sure that you stay connected and aware of what you are, you know, what skills do you have now? Where do you need more? How can you use them the best? In addition, the North, the one star, that is the, I just lost my train of thought. It is the career and self-knowledge. So this period nine energy really inspires people to go within more and to learn more about spirituality, learn more about personal development, figuring out what is wisdom and what is just simply knowledge. In addition, fun fact, the period nine also corresponds with female empowerment. It's not any surprise to me at all that the Grammys was almost by and large a female-driven show.
Unlike anything I've ever seen. I watched the whole thing and just, yeah. When poor Ed Sheeran was on camera, like, what is this? How many men were on the stage?
Yeah.
So is there a connection to the number eight with this? Because we're in an eight numerological year. Does that play a role?
So since numerology is not my forte, it is, it does not surprise me that it would have some of that. As we're moving into this period nine, this 20-year cycle, the number eight is, I mean, in the past, the eight was absolutely the number, the power number. Nine can be more of a power number, but just not this year. It's like we have to kind of ease our way into it. It's like when you burn, like for the people who've done the walking on hot coals, you got to wait for the coals to kind of burn down a little bit rather than just starting to walk when they're still flaming, or else you're going to get injured. That's why you want to not just jump right into doing everything with a number nine this year. But the number eight is still very powerful. Again, in feng shui, number eight is associated with skills and knowledge. It is, what is it that you know? How can you use that to immediately have an impact, whether it's a financial impact, a spiritual impact, emotional impact? Also this year's, especially for this next, especially this year, with as much that's coming out at us, we need to really focus on our physical health, doing the physical exercise, making sure that you're taking care of those medical issues. Our bodies are undergoing a massive shift. And if we do not take care of our bodies, our vehicles, we're going to break down and not be able to do anything. So health is always something that I like to have people focus on. And this is a good year to get in shape.
That's the astrology as well. Well, it has been for several years.
Yeah.
But the other thing that occurs to me, I have noticed, dragons have always been a popular image,
yeah,
in a certain sector or subculture of our society. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that their presence has really been on the rise as a symbol, and not just, in a lot of video games or computer games, they're something that shows up a whole lot. But I'm in the little witches night market community. They are everywhere. And I don't know if that says anything to you, means anything to you, if you think it's just an interesting coincidence, you coincidence creator.
No, absolutely. Like I said, dragons have been around for a very long time, and because they can either be that benevolent protector or that incredible weapon. Come on, let's face it. We all just watched. Many of us were immersed in Daenerys Targaryen and her dragons in Game of Thrones. And when you misuse those weapons, they can turn on you. Tickling the dragon was the phrase used when they were working on the first nuclear bomb there in Los Alamos. Dragon energy itself is, dragons are the dragon and phoenix. A dragon energy is a very common theme, especially in Asian cultures. the phoenix energy of, you know, rising from the ashes. That's actually the rooster in the 12 animal signs is really a phoenix. But, you know, we have the rooster going there too. But what I wanted to make a note of is anytime you have a dragon or for everybody who was a rabbit last year, anybody who has rabbit in one of their four pillars in their Chinese astrology chart, that particular pillar, that particular part of their world, they got the spotlight on them. So anything that was out of integrity was going to be had a spotlight on it for them. So this year, if you have a dragon in one of your three or, you know, one of the four pillars, those parts of your life, well, honestly, it can feel a little uncomfortable because it's like you just are that much more exposed. There's no place for you to hide. You will be caught out if you're not acting in full integrity.
And unfortunately, with that, I need to start wrapping up. And I'd like you to tell people where they can find you, because then they can find out if they have dragon in one of their four pillars.
Sure.
From you.
Sure. But one thing, just because I said they can be caught out, but they can also get a lot of kudos and a lot of praise. They'll just be noticed a lot. But people can find me at theintuitiveinterior.com. They can book a session there, or they can sign up for my newsletter. I try to have a lot of good information in that on a monthly basis. In addition, you mentioned in the show that I do have a YouTube channel called The Intuitive Interior. And finally, I do have a podcast called The Curiosity Solution. And it is not necessarily all Chinese metaphysics or feng shui or anything like that. It's more about helping people to see all the interesting coincidences that happened when they got into their curiosity, when they followed that inner, I wonder what happens if I go and try this. My dear husband used to joke that I had career ADHD because I would just be going along and suddenly some interesting position would show up, and next thing I know, I'm either selling magazines or I'm working for a chiropractor or I'm working at a specialty plant nursery. All of those things came together to really help me make the job that I do now the most rounded and fulfilled. One last little thing about this dragon year. The many people, especially in Chinese culture and the Asian cultures, they very highly prize having a baby born in the dragon year. Because again, the dragons tend to be titans of industry. They're visionary. They can be out of the box thinkers. And especially with this Yang Wood energy, they can be absolute leaders. Many of them just assume that they're going to be the next CEOs. So anybody who wants to have that special dragon baby, you better hop to it and start working on that.
Well, there's one coming in my family.
Yay! Yeah, dragons. I actually have two of my clients that I helped with fertility issues. They're both due to deliver in May. It wasn't even on their horizon as far as it being a dragon baby, but it's very exciting when that happens. But yeah, don't be surprised if some of your acupuncturists out there are a little busy right now helping with those fine-tuned adjustments for the men and the women.
Well, thanks so much, Beverly. It's always so much fun talking with you, and I really, really appreciate you being here and how auspicious that you helped me inaugurate, even with technical difficulties, the first actual live stream of my show. So thanks very, very much. And thank you, everybody. And remember that you can find my forecasts at empowermentunlimited.net and also at omtimes.com. And hang in there, and we'll talk to you again soon.